The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Anyone could light a candle.
Just like a flower in the wind. You are you.
Welcome to Our Sacred Journey with your host, Audrey Katagawa. Our program is designed to bring you inspiration, new perspectives, and experiences of love, compassion, and kindness in action. Our guests are global citizens who live and manifest their values, principles, and ideals. Come share in their activism and values that are making positive contributions to humanity. Now, here is Audrey Katagawa.
Good Monday afternoon to all of our listeners. This is Audrey Kitagawa, host of Our Sacred Journey. We're excited to start our week off with my special guest, Professor Cameron Moffat. Professor Moffat is the founder of the Globalization for the Common Good Initiative and co-founder editor of the Journal of Globalization for the Common Good. He is a member of the International Coordinating Committee of the World Public Forum, Dialogue of Civilizations. He is a founding member of World Dignity University and is on the Global Advisory Board of Human Dignity and Humiliation Studies. He has a Certificate of Education in Pastoral Studies from Plater College, Oxford. He taught at the universities of Windsor, Birmingham, Bristol, Wolverhampton, and Coventry. His work is multidisciplinary and entails a wide range from economics to spirituality. His books include Development Planning in Iran, From Monarchy to Islamic Republic, The Economic Consequences of the Gulf War, Globalization for the Common Good, Business Ethics, Corporate Social Responsibility, and Globalization for the Common Good. He co-authored Promoting the Common Good in a Nonviolent Path to Conflict Resolution and Peace Building. Professor Moffat, thank you for joining us today. To help us create the sacred space for our program, would you please share with us a blessing and some quotes which are particularly close to your heart?
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for your kind words of introduction. Greetings from Coventry, my hometown in United Kingdom. I wish to start our dialogue and conversation tonight with a Celtic blessing. The warmth of the sun to you, the light of the moon to you, the silver of the stars to you, the breath of the wind to you, and the peace of the peace to you. You know, whenever I recently give lectures, and soon we will discuss, as I will share with you, the path that now I am leading, which is a very different path to the one that I was leading before. And I share with my students and the listeners about my teachings. Let me share with you and your listeners a wonderful quote about teaching from the sage Lao Tzu. Some say that my teaching is nonsense. Others call it lofty but impractical. But to those who have looked inside themselves, this nonsense makes perfect sense. And to those who put it into practice, this loftiness has roots that go deep. I have just three things to teach: simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and in thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. Compassionate towards yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. And finally, I wish to quote you a saying by Muhammad Iqbal, the Muslim sage from Pakistan. I, as we will discover very shortly, have got two roots. Part of my root is in old Persia, where I was born, where I was raised, and where I lived till I was 19 years old. And another root is United Kingdom, my Englishness, my Britishness. Through this journey, through this dialogue with East and West, I have learned the following. In the West, intellect is the source of life. In the East, love is the basis of life. Through love, intellect grows acquainted with reality, and intellect gives stability to the work of love. Arise and lay the foundations of a new world by wedding intellect to love. And to some extent, I hope I will be able to do exactly the same tonight with our dialogue and conversation.
Well, I have known you for many years now, Cameron, and I would say that you exemplify very well this wedding of intellect with love by the example of your own life and your very dedicated and hard work to bring forth the importance of values and a different way of living and being. So, you know, you are an economist by background, by training, and you taught economics for 20 years in the United Kingdom and other places. Now, what basically were the students studying economics learning, and how is that juxtaposed with what you just shared about your, you know, the East and the West, the intellect being wedded to love?
Very good question, and I thank you for asking this question. Before I directly answer your question, I want to say that about 15, 16 years ago, I went through some personal crisis, professional and personal, because I had become disenchanted with the modern economics. I had become to realization that what I was teaching my students were not the values that I was teaching my own children. And I could not cope with that anymore. And I had to change. So let me tell you the importance of what I have called the value of values. Because I believe in our teaching, in my case, economics, but I know it's the same in all other disciplines, the missing factor is that we are not engaging with our students on the bigger questions of life. Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going to? What is the purpose of this journey we call life? Again, let me explain. There are good values and there are bad values. What are the bad values as far as the teaching of economics, for example, is concerned? What we do at our business schools. Let me quote you. The social responsibility of business is to increase its profits, whilst the business's sole purpose is to generate profit for the shareholders. Milton Friedman, Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences. Another bad value. Businesses do not have a natural propensity to do good. What is natural for them is to minimize cost and maximize profits. Editorial, The Economist, 24 June 1995. The only reliable, durable, and perpetual guarantor of independence is profit. Who said that? James Murdoch, Chief News Corporation. But now let me share with you the good values that are missing, the values that we are not engaging with our students. He that seeks the good of the many seeks in consequence his own good. Saint Thomas Aquinas. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. The Dalai Lama. When I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. Abraham Lincoln. God loves a cheerful giver, St. Paul. See, these are the values that we must practice in our daily life.
Well, I don't suppose in a regular curriculum in economics you will be listening to such values as compassion, as, seeking the good of many, and, love. So it seems as if these values are very much missing in the economic curriculum. And would you say that economic curriculum very much follows what you have articulated as a bad teachings, that profit is the way to enhance profitability for the shareholder, and that businesses do not have that natural propensity to do good? But historically, businesses were not the moderators of morality.
That's right.
So you seem to be bringing in a whole different element here.
That's correct. Because the more you look at the world today, the more you realize our problems are not necessarily monetary or technological. Of course, money is important. Of course, technology is important. I am not belittling them, and I am not saying that they are not important. But let us stop for a moment and reflect on this. If money and technology were the ones that we need most, having had so much of it already, we must have created the paradise on earth. But in the process of creating so much wealth, using so much technology, but not with the right values, we have created hell. Because if the money was the problem, lack of it was the problem, and if too much money was what we need to create a better world, you just look at it. Since September 2008 and the financial crisis, we have put trillions and trillions of dollars into the financial system and into the market economy.
Well, Cameron, when we come back from our break, I want you to continue on the points that you're making because it's very important. So right now, we're going to go on a short break. Please don't go away. You're listening to the very important messages of Professor Cameron Moffat. This is Audrey Kitagawa. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/VoiceAmerica or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/VoiceAmerica or search for Voice America.
Are you feeling out of control? Are bad relationships, anger, depression, and lifestyle overwhelming you? You can choose to release the belief systems that have kept women stuck for years. Tune in to The Power of an Unstoppable Woman with Dr. Rose Backman as your host. Break free from the genetic beliefs that can cause sabotage. It's time to stand up for who you are and what you believe in, no matter what. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Kitagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey with Professor Cameron Moffat. Now, Professor, before our break, you were basically sharing the hell that we have created from the standard, you know, form of economics that have resulted from teaching economics basically without values. And so I would like for you to continue along what you were saying, because these are very important messages. While you don't deny the importance that money and technology have in our contemporary society, there's something more that you want to instill within all of our listeners. So please proceed.
That's correct. As I was saying, throughout my academic careers and teaching, which went for about 20, 25 years, I taught my students to create wealth, but I never told them for what reason. I told them about scarcity and competition, but I never told them about abundance and cooperation. I told them about gross national product, but I never told them about gross national happiness. I told them to create wealth, but I didn't tell them for what reason, and I didn't tell them how to create that wealth, and when they created that wealth, to what use to put it to. Because you see, if you don't engage with your students, those who are tomorrow going to be the bank managers, the CEO, the politicians, and the leaders, if you don't engage with them on the bigger questions and on the bigger values of life, then you will create a disjointed personality. People who go and they don't understand that they should be stewards rather than exploiters. They should have respect for the creation and the creator. As a result of that, we can see everything that today matters most is money. Too much of it, but nobody talks how this money has been created and what we should do with this money that now we have created. Let me give you an example from Africa, from the spirituality of Africa that I think all of us in the Western world can learn from. The concept of Ubuntu, I am because we are. An anthropologist from the Western world, with his Western mind, philosophy, learning and teaching and expectations, went to Africa and proposed a game to the children in an African tribe. He put a basket of fruit, biscuits, and cakes near a tree and told the children that whoever got there first won the sweets and can have everything for himself or herself. When he told them to run, they took each other's hands and ran together, then sat together enjoying their treats. When he asked them why they had run like that, as one could have had all the fruits for himself, they said, Ubuntu. How can one of us be happy if all the other ones are sad? You see, we need values in life, as well as money and technology and social networking and texting and the mobiles and the Facebooks and so on, that we have got not too much of it. We need values. We need love, friendship, kindness, generosity, sympathy, empathy, compassion, humanity. We need all these things to make wealth creation, to make technology, to make everything else that we value so much in our Western mentality valuable, sustainable. Otherwise, we will have the continuation of the hell that we have created for ourselves, despite or in spite of so much money and technology. Let me quote you in this regard something very important from Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama was once asked what surprised him most. He said, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die. And then he dies having never really lived. And don't you think this is what has happened to most of us in the Western world?
Yes, and I also see a very interesting juxtaposition as technology grows and, you know, we seem to be losing the intimate face-to-face connection. But the anonymity that technology can bring seems to have created a vast hunger to make some kind of connection, but in a virtual way. And, you know, I see people sitting at the dining table in restaurants and, you know, they're texting and they're not engaging in conversation with the people around the table. So this really And at the same time, there's such hunger for connection, but we have seem to have lose the inability to really be present for the connections that are right there in front of us. Now, you started when you left teaching economics, you also started this movement and this organization called the Globalization for the Common Good Initiative. And first of all, I would like you to tell us what you mean when you use the term common good.
Okay. Before that, again, I have got to give you some information to make my explanation more useful and more rewarding. After 25 years that I was teaching at the university level, and I realized that I am facing crisis as I could not carry on teaching untruthfulness to my students, I resigned because I had to do it to find a new path for myself. It was a very difficult moment in my life and my family's life. After 2 years of soul searching, I went to a Jesuit College in Oxford, Plato College, and I started pastoral theology. And it was there that I discovered the true meaning of economics, something that I had not discovered even though I had doctorate in economics. That the roots of economics was in theology, philosophy, ethics, and spirituality. It was at that time that economics was good. Today, economics is called the dismal science, rightfully, because it has been separated from its roots. It is now more engaged with statistics, with IT, mathematics, and physics. So, when I was there, and I was studying theology, I discovered the concept of the common good. That at the end of the day, what matters, if we want to live a happy life, if we want to be useful to ourselves and to others, we must have respect for the common good, and we must know that we are each other's keepers. And as a result of that, I thought that I must accept globalization is here to stay. Market economy is here to stay. But we have got to make it good. We have got to make them sustainable. Therefore, we need to bring the values that is good for everybody into the system. And this is what I do.
But when you use the term globalization, you know, globalization is a huge term and used to encompass everything from information technologies to culture. But insofar as your use of the word globalization, are you talking specifically about economic globalization?
No. I'm talking about globalization in the terms of economics. Globalization in our relationship, in our dialogue, in our engagement, culture, civilization. But what I'm saying is this, it has got to be based on mutual respect. It has got to be based on the fact that nobody has got monopoly on goodness. Nobody has got monopoly on being good. We all have got something to contribute to make this journey better, worthwhile, and sustainable. Therefore, it has got to be for the common good. Therefore, it has got to be inclusive. It has got not to be made in Hollywood, American globalization, or British globalization. It has got to be globalization for the common good, for the good of all of us.
And now I want you to share with us, with respect to your initiative, Globalization for the Common Good, you know, what you will seek to accomplish by your initiative, your organization, which has been around now for several years, at least about 12 years or 10 years. But in any event, we have to go to break. And when we come back, I would really like for you to share with us about Globalization for the Common Good Initiative. This is Audrey Kitagawa with Professor Cameron Moffitt. Don't go away. We will be right back.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Kitagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey with my guest, Professor Cameron Moffitt. So now, Professor Moffitt, before we went on break, I wanted you to share with us more about this wonderful initiative that you created, Globalization for the Common Good Initiative. So please share with us the goals that you hope this Globalization for the Common Good Initiative will accomplish.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is about 11 years, 12 years since that day in Oxford in 2002. We had our first conference on globalization for the common good. You know, when I was studying theology and I was reflecting on the shortcomings of modern economics and what was going on at our business schools, my own experience and so on, I thought I want to have a conference to see if there are other people who share my worries, anxiety, and concern about the direction of our education. I wanted to see if people are interested in have a dialogue of ideas and visions, a dialogue of cultures and civilizations, a dialogue of people coming together, all of us sharing our expertise and experiences to see what we can do about our world today. So we had a conference in Oxford in 2002, and you know, to my surprise, we had many, many participants, many speeches coming, and they were all sharing the same things that I was concerned about. At the end of the conference, people ask me, Cameron, please don't finish. Make this an annual event. Every year we come to Oxford and we will carry on this debate. We will develop our ideas further. We will write articles and books and so on. I was very touched by that recognition by my peers and friends. But I said, why should we hold the conference every year in Oxford? It is about globalization. It is about people. It's about countries and the continents and the cultures and civilizations. So I came to understanding that the best way to make this movement more rewarding and more relevant is if every year we go somewhere in the world with our message, we share it with other people, and also learn from their experiences, because this is what a good globalization is all about, learning and sharing our journeys. So we decided to have an annual conference every year somewhere in the world where we can have a host who shares our dream and our vision. So Globalization for the Common Good annual conference series came into being in 2002. The first conference was in Oxford. The following year we went to St. Petersburg in Russia. Then we went to Dubai. Then we went to Kenya. Then we have been to Australia. We have been to Hawaii, Honolulu. We have been to Chicago, Thousand Oaks, California. Oxford again last year. And then our 11th annual conference will take place in August 2013, this year in Paris. You ask me what we have achieved. I believe we have achieved a lot. For me, the best achievement is that we have shown the power of volunteerism and service. We have no financial capital. We have no seed money, but we have got plenty of love and commitment. And as a result of that, Globalization for the Common Good initiative has been going from strength to strength because we give all we have as volunteers and we share with each other and we help each other. Secondly, we have demonstrated and put on the map of the world the power of being for the common good, brothers and sisters, each other's keepers. We have shown that we have got to respect nature, environment, ecology, human kingdom, animal kingdom. We have got to share each other's ideas, and we have got to have respect for the creator and the creation. We have got to be sustainable. We have got a journal of Globalization for the Common Good, which is hosted at Purdue University in the United States. We have got Youth Forum. We are bringing many young people to our conferences because without them, we cannot succeed, because all we do is for the next generation, is for the young people, our children and our grandchildren. There are courses now being taught at different universities on the values of globalization for the common good. We have got different research programs and we are sharing. We have got youth ambassadors. We have got senior ambassadors. We have really shown what can happen when love, commitment, respect, generosity, gratitude are the guiding principles and guiding values. For that, I am eternally grateful to all those who have made this journey possible.
Well, it's very encouraging to hear all of these wonderful activities that have been spawned from your initiative, from the youth to the universities that actually are starting values curriculum, to your research programs, to the journal that you created. So this is really growing quite large over the years. Now, if people want to attend your upcoming conference in Paris, how can they learn more about it?
Okay. First of all the information can be found at our website, www.gcgi.info. I repeat, www.gcgi.info. All the information is there.
Well, thank you so much.
I would also like to share with you the main theme of the conference. because I'm sure your listeners would be happy to hear about it.
Yes.
The main theme is gathering of voices on caring for creation, imagining a better world, an intergenerational dialogue for the common good to inspire a creative leadership. You know, the world today is full of senior citizens, taking with them, carrying with them wisdom, experience, and knowledge. And also millions and billions of young people, many of them under the age of 30 years old, around the world, who are idealistic, committed, and passionate about doing things. Why not bring the senior people and the youth together, combining wisdom, passion, ideas, and idealism together, so that we can start a journey together, sharing our wisdom, experience, and commitment to create a better world. This is a dream that I have had for many years, and we are going to realize it in Paris. We have got many young people coming, senior people coming, and we are going to sit together, round tables, workshops, plenary sessions. We will have storytelling sessions, music, theater, films. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. I am so excited about it already.
Well, it's wonderful to hear that your initiative is also addressing intergenerational engagement as well as multicultural appreciation and cooperation. So now, Cameron, as you travel around the world with your initiative and discuss it with so many people from so many countries, what has impressed you the most about people's response to your initiative, Globalization for the Common Good initiative?
Okay, what I have realized is, in contrast to what we hear in our commercialized media, what I hear is this: there are so many wonderful people in this world, the people of kindness, the people of goodness, the people of dreams, the people of commitment. There are people out there who are ready to help you. There are people out there who are ready to share your dreams with you. And you won't believe how positive these days I am about our world, despite all these problems that we see we are facing. People and goodness there is ready to do the job.
Well, this is quite remarkable considering the fact, as I understand it, that there was a lot of skepticism about your initiative in the beginning. So it sounds like there has been a real shift in people's attitudes towards what you're trying to do. And this must surely make you feel hopeful for a future that looks to preserving and nurturing and protecting the common good.
That is absolutely true. You are correct to say at the beginning, there was some skepticism, there were some doubts. But when people saw the commitment, when people saw the hard work, when people saw that everything is done based on the values of service and volunteerism, when people saw that I'm asking for help, not for myself, but for the cause, I'm asking for help to enabling me to help the others less advantaged than myself and others, the help has been there, the support has been there, and it has been a wonderful journey and experience for all of us.
Well, I myself have been a participant in several of your conferences, and I have to say that the conferences are very well done. You have a sterling list of participants and speakers who really share their wonderful ideas. We have to go on break right now. This is Audrey Kitagawa with Professor Cameron Moffitt. We'll be right back for more inspiring conversation.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, brought to you by Enzymedica, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Do you ever ask yourself,
why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What do I do next?
Life energies are based on the chakras, and this is the foundation of holistic healing. Find the balance in your life by tuning in to Healing Possibilities with your host, Tracy Makarenko. Through engaging guests and Tracy's spiritual guidance, each week we'll explore a different modality of healing designed to help you find peace and wholeness. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey. This is Audrey Kitagawa, your host, with my very special guest, Professor Cameron Moffat. Well, Professor, you know, I was very happy to hear that there has been a significant shift on how people have viewed your initiative that, you know, seems to make it very hopeful that people are more concerned now about preserving and protecting and nurturing the common good. So tell us what suggestions you may have to better heal our troubled world. So please share with us.
Thank you very much. Very good question. And I have written papers, and I have given seven steps. I have called it the seven steps to the promised land, where we can create a better world, a world of peace, justice, harmony, sustainability, and good relationships. The first step for me is to begin a journey of self-rediscovery. We have got once again to discover or rediscover the art of happiness, well-being, good relationship, and friendship. Because unless we are at peace with ourselves, unless we know the art of contentment, we cannot even think and provide solutions for a better world. The solution will come from a happy heart and a peaceful mind. Secondly, we have got to admit that modern economics and neoliberalism, individualism, selfishness, greed, and creating too much money without knowing for what reason, has failed us. Let me quote you a passage from an editorial in The Observer, the oldest Sunday newspaper which is published in the United Kingdom. The title of that article, that editorial, was, "Put your trust in Socrates, not economists." The wisdom of Socrates was famously summarized as his ability to know that he knew nothing. So in modern times, he would have probably been an economist. Few saw the credit crunch coming. Since it arrived, opinions as to the severity of its consequences, its effects on different nations, and the prescriptions to remedy them have varied wildly. And this is the reason, because they are not engaging themselves with the real values and the concerns of the people. And unless we do that, modern economics will carry on failing us. Moreover, modern economics, once again, must be embedded with its original roots, ethics, philosophy, and ethics. And I tell you, I have gotten evidence to prove to you that modern economics today does not know ethics. This is a letter by Lord Combes from the House of Lords in London to the Times of London, which was published on 8th of March 2011. Lord Combes is a philanthropist in the United Kingdom. This is his letter to the editor of the Times. Sir, around 1991, I offered the London School of Economics a grant of £1 million to set up a chair in business ethics. John Ashworth, at that time the director of the LSE, encouraged the idea but had to write to me to say regretfully that the faculty had rejected the offer as it saw no correlation between ethics and economics. Can you believe what I just read to you? That they rejected £1 million to set a chair in business ethics and economics because the faculty of LSE, one of the most prestigious centers of teaching of economics, does not believe there is a correlation between ethics and economics. This is why modern economics has brought the House of Cards down. We don't need to inject more money into our economy. We need to make the economics ethical. We must make our students understand the values that they need to have in the world of work. Nothing else is important until we realize the importance of the value of the values.
Now, Professor, if people want to read your article, The Seven Steps to the Promised Land, how would they be able to obtain a copy?
They can go to the www.gcgi.info. All the articles and the books that I have written are there, and it's a free access. You do not need anything else to access anything that I have written. It's all there as long as you're eager to do research and to the reading. Articles and the books are there for you.
Well, that's really wonderful for you to make it available at no cost to the public. So I encourage anyone who would like to read up on your Seven Steps to the Promised Land to please access it through the website that was given. And you've also written several books about globalization, and I have a particular question regarding your book, which you co-authored, Promoting the Common Good and a Nonviolent Path to Conflict Resolution and Peace Building. And I want you to share with us, what is a nonviolent path to conflict resolution and peace building, especially in light of this highly polarized landscape in our public discourses?
Violence will come about when we are greedy. Violence will come about when we think we have monopoly to wisdom, that we have got monopoly to everything that is good, and nobody else is like us. As long as that kind of attitude exists in international relations, obviously there is no room for dialogue. There is no room for conversation. There is no room for friendship. Therefore, we have got to adhere to the fact that we are not the only one with wisdom. We have got no monopoly over power, wisdom, and anything else that is good. If we acknowledge that, and if we acknowledge that life is sacred and life must not be ended in violence, then we have got the possibility of coming together round the table, sit and talk. It does not mean that we have got to agree on everything. But unless we talk, we do not know what is there that is separating us. Come together, have dialogue, have respect for each other, and things can be much better.
Well, you provided us with a wealth of your wisdom as well as suggestions, and I really appreciate the time that you've taken to be with us this afternoon. And please share with us your parting message that you would like to convey to all of our listeners.
I now wish to invite you to share a common belief in the potential of each one of us to become self-directed, empowered, and active in defining this time in the world as opportunity for positive change and healing for the true formation of a cultural peace by giving thanks, spreading joy, sharing love, seeing miracles, discovering goodness, embracing kindness, practicing patience, teaching moderation, encouraging laughter, celebrating diversity, showing compassion, turning from hatred, practicing forgiveness, peacefully resolving conflicts, communicating nonviolently, choosing happiness, and enjoying life.
What a beautiful last message to our listeners. Thank you so much, Professor Cameron Moffat. Please check out his website, www.gcgi.info, for more information as well as to access his valuable writings. Professor Moffat, I really wish to extend my deepest appreciation to you for taking the time to share with us your important insights, analysis, and concrete actions for positive transformation in our globalized world that ultimately rests upon the cultivation of our spiritual lives, values, and hearts of compassion and caring for each other. May God bless you and your good works in all ways for your role in helping to make this world a better place. Join us again next week for another inspiring program. This is Audrey Kitagawa, your host of Our Sacred Journey. My guest, Professor Cameron Moffat, and I bid you all a very good evening.
Thank you for being a part of Our Sacred Journey. Please join Audrey Kitagawa again next Monday at noon Hawaiian Standard Time, 3 p.m. in the West, 6 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. This week, think about the contributions of love and compassion that you'll make and how together we can create a better, harmonious, and more peaceful world.
Just like a flower in the rain, you are unique.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.